the cost of corruption in Afghanistan.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. A new report from the United Nations finds the cost of corruption increased by 40% in Afghanistan between 2009 and 2012. And the report says fully half of all Afghans are paying bribes. The BBC's Bilal Sarwari joins us from Kabul with the details. Good morning.
Good morning.
So 50% of Afghans are paying bribes?
That's right. And these revelations are very shocking because it mentions that Afghans paid bribes in 2012 worth $3.9 billion. They paid bribes, the report says, to police officers, to teachers at school because you wanted your son to be treated well. And the worst thing is that it shatters the confidence of the Afghan people in the Afghan government. And in rural areas, this is how the Taliban are promoting their insurgency. They say, we are not corrupt. If you live in our areas, our governors will never ask you for money. But here's an Afghan government that is taking bribes and that is corrupt.
Now, the Afghan president, Hamid Karzai, has pointed the finger at some of the contracts that are being given out by the U.S. government.
President Karzai has done that, but it's also important to note that he's also admitted that corruption exists within the Afghan government as well. One of the problems that exists inside the Afghan government is that there are so many bodies that are supposed to be fighting corruption, but there are allegations that those bodies themselves are corrupt. For example, there were some very serious allegations that one of the cabinet ministers had stolen government land worth millions of dollars. That case made it to the Afghan media. There was a lot of interest. But in the end, no one was able to take any action. When Afghans see that no high-level official is brought to justice or is seriously investigated, they just think it's okay to pay bribes and it's okay to live with corruption.
The BBC's Bilal Sarwari in Kabul. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
President Obama is meeting with House Democrats today to rally support for several items on his agenda, including immigration reform. Lawmakers are still trying to work through some disagreements on that issue, including whether a pathway to citizenship for illegal immigrants should be contingent on tighter border security. Joining us now from Miami with more is Stephen Keppel. He's economics editor at Univision News. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy. Great to be with you.
Well, great to have you. So I want to ask you first, where would we see the biggest impact of immigration reform if something like what's being talked about in Washington were to pass?
Well, Jeremy, I'm sure you were watching the Super Bowl the other night and you saw that great farming ad put on by Dodge Ram.
The one with Paul Harvey.
Yes, exactly. You know, very inspirational. The thing is, our farming sector doesn't really look like that today. In fact, 75% of all farm workers in America were born in Mexico. And around 53% of those are undocumented. So it's quite a different picture than we expect.
So that's the area you would look for the biggest economic impact, farm labor in the United States.
Definitely. The agriculture industry has been a big proponent of immigration reform. And they would, by developing a legal path to citizenship and more importantly for them, a guest worker program, it would legalize a huge section of their workforce. It would help them to plan for the future. It would help workers that work seasonally that come in from Mexico and work throughout the West Coast kind of come and go much more easily. And it's just much more sustainable.
And what if there were no reform?
If there's no reform, I mean, we've all pretty much agreed that we can't continue with the status quo, so something would have to change. If we went the route of mass deportations, first, it'd be very costly. There's some estimates that it would cost maybe $285 billion to deport all undocumented immigrants. This could cost the economy $2.6 trillion over the next 10 years from GDP, and it would absolutely crush the U.S. farming industry. You know, farms would shrink. We would definitely be producing a lot less farm goods.
Well, is that message getting out in Washington?
I think so, but I don't think the full message has really hit home yet, because one of the key issues that the farming sector is facing is not just dealing with immigration, but it's finding a way to attract the labor that they need. The labor supply from Mexico is actually on the decline, and they really need to do something to become more competitive and attract more migrants and have a more sustainable supply of labor. So immigration reform is just actually a first step.
Stephen Keppel, economics editor for Univision News, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning, down 0.9% in Tokyo, but up 0.3% right now in Frankfurt. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 9 points to close at 13,986.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
Later this morning, the government will tell us how productive we've been. Economists are expecting a drop in productivity for the fourth quarter of 2012 after a year of moderate increases. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman explains.
You can see improved productivity everywhere, including my local latte bar.
Have a hemp latte and a chai.
The barista touches an iPad, swipes the card. Customer Tia Ribery signs with her finger, no printing or storing the receipt.
It makes it easier to send the receipt to my bookkeeper. I don't have to scan it. I just forward the email.
Using smart machines to do more with less human labor, that productivity engine keeps humming along. But economist Patrick Newport at IHS Global Insight says overall productivity gains have slowed recently. And here's why. Companies massively downsized during the recession, then made the workers who were left do more.
That strategy no longer works because workers are tired. And on top of that, we're seeing an increase in hiring.
Companies are finally adding workers, but growth has slowed. We're not making a lot more widgets or lattes, so productivity is falling. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And finally, there's a big winter storm headed for the Northeast, and the Weather Channel, which names winter storms now, has called this one Nemo, as in the lovable Disney fish that was trying to get to P. Sherman, 42 Wallaby Way, Sydney. Hopefully the snow will be as harmless as the fish. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.